So we're back. Back in the saddle.
Back, baby.
For more, my girlfriend begrudgingly reads Dune.
Dune.
I'm Sean. You're the girlfriend.
Yeah. No, I'm my own person.
Okay. You're Caitlin.
I'm Caitlin. Mm-hmm. My own person. I'm not just a girlfriend.
Yeah. And we read Dune. We read a chapter of Dune.
20.
Yeah, I don't know. I stopped writing the thing in there. I'll figure it out later, though.
Could be 30.
It is 30. It is 30. This is like episode 23. No, 24, maybe. Maybe 25.
24, I think.
24, you think? Yeah, that's right. 24. This is episode 24 of My Girlfriend Begrudgingly Reads Dune.
If you're just tuning in now and you are expecting the title to be ironic, you've got another expect coming.
Yeah. You've got an... Do you know that some people think it's You've Got Another Think Coming?
It is another think coming.
What? No, it's You've Got Another Thing Coming.
No. It's if you think you've got another think coming.
That's crazy.
Well.
Alright. We'll look it up on IMDb later. But what?
Who do you think is the number one star of You've Got Another Think Coming?
I don't think there is a star of You've Got Another Think Coming because I don't think that's the name of the hit sitcom. I think it's You've Got Another Thing Coming.
Well, who's the star of that?
Parker Posey.
Oh, well, so it's an oldie then, maybe.
What? Are you saying Parker Posey's old?
Isn't she kind of old?
I'll have you know that she played Umbrielle in the early 2000s episode of Futurama where they went to Atlanta.
What does that have to do with anything?
I'm just saying that a mere 20-something years ago...
She did voice acting where you couldn't tell how old she was.
Right, and she was in all of the, what are those mockumentary movies? Christopher Guest movies? She's in every Christopher Guest movie. So don't call her old. She's
you were like, what are those Christopher Guest movies? And I was about to be like, do you mean Christopher Guest movies?
Yeah. You know,
what are those called?
What do they call those movies that are directed by Christopher Guest and have Christopher Guest in them and has it's the characteristic, you know?
Wait, Christopher Guest is in those?
Yeah.
Which one is he?
Okay, so in Wag the Dog, he's...
I haven't seen that one.
Do
you mean Best in Show?
Yeah. And in Waiting for Guffman, he's...
I haven't seen that one.
What about... Which ones have you seen?
I've seen A Mighty Wind.
Okay, in A Mighty Wind, he's one of the singers.
I don't know. I haven't seen them in so long. All right, forget it.
What was that one we watched the other day that was only so-so?
Something about movies.
Oh, yeah.
It was where the movie they were making was Home for Purim.
Yeah, that was...
But then they had to change it to Home for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Because of the rampant Jewish thing, anti-Semitism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 What do you think about Spanningsbogen?
Oh, yeah. I meant to underline that because I thought that was very interesting. You know, the self-imposed delay between desire for a thing and the act of reaching out to grasp the thing.
AKA delayed gratification. Yes. AKA the key ingredient of the middle to upper classes.
The key ingredient of the middle to upper classes is... delayed gratification.
Yes.
Say more about that.
I just remember reading something in like sociology, maybe at some point, that like the theory was like, oh, the thing that has like creates class stratification is delayed gratification. Because you have to like work really hard and do a bunch of bullshit. I'm not saying I agree with this.
I'm not willing to give, you know, the upper classes any superpowers besides swindling the working class.
Right. Okay. But you do know about the marshmallow test.
Where we have to delay eating a marshmallow?
Yeah.
What do we get if we delay eating the marshmallow?
Like a better treat later on or something? You get like two marshmallows or something?
Yeah, but isn't another way of reading that test like people that have experienced poverty don't have any guarantees in their life that there's ever going to be more marshmallows.
Sure. They do that test on children. I don't know how old the children are. I don't know. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I'm not saying I think any of this. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying these are things people talk about.
Is this in your Oh No, My Fingers Are Stuck Together book?
Wait, what? What's that one?
That's the one you're reading right over there with the fingers.
Oh, yeah.
Four person's fingers are stuck together.
I am reading a book with some fused fingers on the cover.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. My fingers.
Yeah, I don't know. That poor person.
What a horrible nightmare.
That must be really hard to poop. How do you wipe?
Ooh.
Yeah.
You just have to.
Yeah.
I just bumped the microphone because I've putting my fingers together and I'm trying to reach around to the back of my bottom.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I could make it.
What about through the gooch?
Yeah.
You could do that. Okay.
All right.
Well, anyway, no, it's not in that book. That, I don't know. I forget the whole thing with the marshmallow test, honestly. Mm-hmm. These are all just things that are not Marxist.
I feel like I've read Spanisbogen before and I want to say that it's like German for like drawing the bow but not letting the arrow fly. Because you know, German is just kind of, a lot of times it's just very funny sounding English, all words all stuck together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in big long words.
Well, but
everybody's really always like, oh, the Germans have so many words. It's like, yeah, but they just like make compound words all the time.
What if English is
Zeitgeist is just
German divided up.
Time spirit or something. What?
What if English is just German divided up into smaller words?
Oh, yeah.
Because English is a Germanic language.
Right, and that's why English has so many words, because we just take German words and break them up into separate words.
Right.
Okay.
Wait, I don't know.
That makes sense. But, yeah, I thought that was that. I get what they're talking about. This Princess Irulan frontispiece is... It makes sense that that is kind of a theme of this episode.
Yeah, delayed gratification. I mean, TBH, like, delayed gratification is a really good thing to master, mm-hmm. you know? Like, if you want to, like, save money or, mm-hmm. like, get a really lucrative degree.
Be at all productive on a day-to-day basis, mm-hmm. which is my problem because mm-hmm. I mm-hmm. am not great at delaying gratification.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like instant gratification, which is why I don't have any money?
Maybe.
Hmm. Ooh, boy, we're learning things about the upper class and my place in the class system.
I don't know.
Right.
How do you even? Anyway.
Right?
So, don't know. I guess I'm getting right to it today.
Yeah, you are. You pulled me back in line. You know why I think you did is because you got all this feedback about from friends of yours that are reading, listening to the podcast. They're like, I like that you guys are talking about Dune.
No, that's not it. I don't give a shit what my friends think about what I like to talk about.
Okay.
They have to put up with me and listen to me no matter what I decide to talk about.
Yeah.
But I love them and they're mm-hmm. cool.
Too. Okay.
So, I don't know what it is. I think I just, I had these two markers right up front.
You do, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so we're getting right into the recap here. 11 minutes in, and we've already talked about Dune a little bit. We talked about the frontispiece, so
yeah.
Boom.
So the first marker... It was just so hard for me to get past this because I couldn't stop doing this. Paradise on my right, hell on my left, and the angel of death behind. If you like it, then you should have put a Sam Raimi on it. I don't know what the student version of that would be. If you like it, then you should have put a Christ knife on it.
I like Sandworm. I think first idea.
First thought, best thought. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so like, yeah, I was just having such a hard time getting past that because I just kept going back to that and like, mm-hmm. yeah.
Well, what is that from? What is that?
I don't know. Beyonce lyric from. Even think about it.
Well, no, I mean what in the book it says right there.
I know, but I just couldn't even get out of that.
I think it's happening again.
It is.
You just have Queen Yance dancing around in your head.
I do. Mm-hmm. UA's tiny OC Bible. It's from the Orange County Bible. The Bible of Ryan the Broody.
Also known as the OC Bible.
Yeah, Ryan the Broody, you know, guy from Chino, and then Seth the nerdy, you know, comic book loving kid, and then there's Marissa the walk and cry for help. And then there's...
What's happening right now? Is this from the OC? Is that what's happening?
Yeah.
You watched that show?
Oh, God, I watched that show. I would start watching that show again right now, given the chance.
Didn't it only last, like, 2 seasons?
No, there were 4 seasons.
Oh, my God. So
and
much OC.
Only 3 seasons.
Were they 13-episode seasons or 27-episode seasons?
I don't know. I don't know. Well, so my friend Rachel and I used to just, like, sit around and binge watch it, like, endlessly. So I don't even know how many episodes were in a season. We would just finish one and start the next one, you know.
What I always think is funny about the OC is that what people forget is that the most successful enterprise to come out of that period of television is the Real Housewives of the OC. And what that was a, you know, a reality show melding of two what at the time were very popular dramas, which was Desperate Housewives and the OC. They were like, you know what's hot right now? The OC. Housewives. Let's go look at what the Real Housewives of the OC are. And that's the Real Housewives show is still a going concern today.
Oh my God, I know.
With millions of spinoffs.
Yeah, so that went in the wrong direction as far as I'm concerned, but who's listening to me?
Yeah. You're more of a
OC.
Oh right. I'm more of a Desperate Housewives. I watched that show.
Yeah, I watched some of it.
You know what else came out at the same time as Desperate Housewives?
Uh-huh.
Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, yeah.
And that show is, I think, still on.
No, it's not.
But
I don't,
it's
I
close.
Think it may
it
be
was like
just
last
ended.
Year.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
This is the other thing I marked was when Chani's like, find a place to rest instead of the way, child man. Here's food.
Oh yeah, and then she gives him leaf wrapped morsels.
That reek of spice.
And this, I was thinking about. This would suck so bad to be like, oh, I'm so hungry. I've hiked all day, and then you come in and they're like, well, we've got pot brownies, and it's like, but I'm gonna be so high if I eat that. And it's like, well, we have pot cookies, you know, or you could just drink this tincture.
What I liked about it was the way Chani talks to Paul. And
you just
like
it when women are dismissive of men.
Yeah.
Characters. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. Can I talk to you like that?
No. Please don't.
Do I not talk to you like that?
I mean, sometimes you're dismissive. I don't think you've ever called me a child, man.
All right. You're right.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Do you want some? But I could totally go for some bird flesh. It's, you know, spiced with wrapped in leaves. That sounds good.
Okay. So you want pot bird flesh?
Yeah, that might be interesting. I don't know. Does people do that? Do people ever eat, like, savory, like, edible? Like,
oh, totally.
Yeah?
There's, like, whole TV shows dedicated to, like, weed cooking, and it's not just sweet stuff.
And it's not just pot butter and pot whatever.
Well, might be pot butter, but cooked into all kinds of savory dishes and whatever.
Oh, I don't know. That's...
There's some people whose whole careers are just like pot chefs, basically.
Yeah, I think that's for people that... I don't know. I think the level of, you know, marijuana ingestion.
Do you have new kitty scratches on your arm from today?
No, some of these are puppy scratches, you know... I work.
Oh right, you were gardening.
I was gardening all day.
I forgot.
There were thorns.
How did it make you feel when you've been gardening all day and then you came home and I was like, here's my plans for our garden?
Oh, that's fine.
Okay. Cool.
I mean, I didn't do much gardening at the house. nevertheless, you know, you're just, I mean, you were just looking at a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Yeah. She had some spreadsheet with like lots of plants on it, and she was like, look at all these plants I'm gonna buy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to Rowan. He told me to do it that way.
Shout out.
Okay, so yeah, basically, I don't know, like, Jessica and Stilgar the Horrible just have, like, tons of sexual tension.
Mm-hmm, right.
There's, like...
Do you think she's into him?
So, I think at first he's like, oh, I don't want my people to think I'm fucking you because you're, like, so fuckable. And she's like, dude, stop that.
Can I set the table for a second? They have just gotten back to a... Because I don't think we've mentioned, like, where they are and what they're doing.
Sure, yeah.
So, they've been, you know... They've been trekking through the desert, and they got to the place where they're going to bed down for, like, the daytime, you know, because they walk at night, because it's hot out, you know? And it's this nice little low cave, and another nice thing about this cave thing is that they can look out, and they can see Setch Tabor from here, from this place, like, through another cave opening. And Stilgar, at some point, he's like, okay, we want to seal this up so we can, like, take all of our still suits and shit off and just, like, chill. These people's families are not going to give them any rest next time when we're back at the Setch, which I think means they're going to just, like, go to town, like, bone zoning. But I could be wrong about that.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what's going on. And Jessica and Stilgar kind of go off, and they're looking at this stuff, and that's when they're having this conversation about their intense sexual...
Here's what I don't understand, is intense. It's like, okay, so there's, like, he's trying to build all this, like, mystery around the worms.
He? Oh, he's Herbert, okay.
But it's, like, so obvious that people ride the worms, and, like, I don't know, maybe there's, like, more to it than that, but I'm like, are you just, like, trying to tease me into wondering if people ride the worms by basically telling me that people ride the worms over and over again?
So when did you first suspect that people rode the worms?
Like, a long time ago, when they talked about maker hooks and riding the worms. Mm. I don't remember.
I mean, so it was there. I don't think it's a huge... I don't know that it's... That he's trying
but
to...
But why is it so scandalous that people ride the worms? I guess you shouldn't tell me that, because it could be a spoiler.
Well, I mean, you know, the cat's out of the bag. People ride on the worms. I'm not going to... You know, they say as much. She sees a mirage.
That's the thing. It's like these things that, like, are like...
But I don't think it's supposed to be a huge mystery.
But I don't know. I think it's like the way he, like, doles it out... No, he does do that.
I think you're looking,
like,
at it,
listen,
through the lens of,
no,
like, he's a mystery,
no,
author. And he's
no,
not. He's
no, just... listen.
I'm listening.
Okay, listen to me read this passage.
Okay.
Okay, so
I
basically, Jessica sees a mirage of Fremen riding the worms.
Uh-huh.
Then the mirage fades. And Stilgar says, it would be better to ride, as in, like, you know,
ride,
to the
ride the worms,
speech.
But they can't,
yeah,
let up.
But we cannot permit a maker into this basin. Thus, we must walk again tonight. And then Jessica thinks, maker, their word for worm.
Mm-hmm.
She measured the import of his words. The statement that they could not permit a worm into this basin. She knew what she had seen in the mirage. Fremen riding on the back of a giant worm. It took heavy control not to betray her shock at the implications. I mean, what are the implications?
They ride around on worms.
That's not an implication. That's just a thing that has already been revealed, like, many times.
You're wrong. Here's why it's an implication.
Ugh, yeah.
The Harkonnens don't know they ride worms. They keep it a secret that they ride worms. How do
they
keep it a secret?
Because they do. They pay the guild something to keep the satellites out of the...
This isn't... It's not common knowledge that Fremen ride worms.
So it's important... So the Fremen don't want the Harkonnens to know that they ride worms.
And, well, they keep it a secret from everybody. They keep it a secret.
Okay, whatever. So, I don't know. I think Jessica's into it. Well, I think at first, because he, like, says some lascivious shit. He's like, We must be getting back to the others, else my people may suspect I dally with you. Mm-hmm. Some already are jealous that my hands tasted your loveliness when we struggled last night in Tuano Basin.
Mm, she and about Jessica smacks goes, him for that.
That'll be enough of that!
Don't what?
That'll be enough of that!
That will be enough of that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Stilgar's like, no offense. Blah, blah. I'm just talking about your body objectively, like objectifying you. Chill out, lady. Anyway, what am I doing? So, I don't know. So, I think
you're getting all wrapped up about some sort of feminist critique of Stilgar and not quite making the puzzle pieces connect.
I think I'm done having interesting things to say. So basically, yeah, like,
well, what does he say to her?
I think at first he's like, she's like, you stop being such a gross dude, but then he she's like, stop hitting on me, grossy. And then, like, and I've been there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then he starts to be all, like, thoughtful, and he talks about, you know, Reverend Mothers and the Sayadina.
Yeah, I mean, he says our Reverend Mother is old.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this could be a path for you in our society.
Mm-hmm.
You could be the Reverend Mother. And she's like, holy shit, they call their, like, you know, their clerical, you know, priestesses Reverend Mothers, like, that not everybody calls them that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like,
yeah. And he, like, already is like, oh, should we get married? I don't think so,
because yeah, right.
My people something or other.
Well, he says that, like, she's mighty, you know, she could kill him. He gets that. And mm-hmm. she's like, well, don't your people, like, worry about that? And he's like, well, I could kill all of them. You know, that's mm-hmm. that's not the problem. What I'm saying is, like, you should, you know, you could challenge me for power, which I don't recommend you do, because people won't follow you, because you don't know desert ways. But here's another way that we could, like, be friends and allies, and also, you know, share power in this place. And you should, I'd invite you to consider it, because you could be, you know, like a priestess,
right? Basically. Yeah.
And she pretty much rolls that around in her head. She thinks Stilgar is a wise leader. That's kind of hot, but, you know, I agree with him. And then she like puts in her secret mission or protective, you know, Bene Gesserit code words, basically.
Yeah, she's like, I'm having a vision, and she, like, says it out loud, and everybody's like, oh my god, she's a special.
Yeah, they're like repeating along with the, like, ritual words that she's saying, you know.
And then Paul gets super high,
yeah.
Starts having his own visions. You drew a cookie.
No, that's that's a face with trinocular vision.
Oh,
I was thinking about what
I don't know. You finish it out.
You get so bored. She's on her phone. No phones. You can't just start reading phone alerts in the middle of a podcast. I don't care if you're bored or not. Because it's, you know, I have a little professionalism here.
I'm not getting paid for this shit.
What would Scott Aukerman say? I didn't say professional. I said professionalism. So, you know, he's chilling with Chani. Jessica has a bit of, like, you know, cynical regrets on, like, playing these Fremen like a fiddle, by, you know, exploiting their, you know, the loopholes in their religion that have been set up.
Mm-hmm.
But she's like, well, but this is what we gotta do, you know. And meanwhile, Paul is with Chani over there, and they're kind of, you know, she's saying stuff like, I've got two eyes, I've got two feet, and, you know, all kinds of, she's like, she's
what has two eyes, two feet,
and is red all over,
a chicken.
Yeah,
wait, yeah,
okay, it's a good bit.
he's thinking about spice. He's starting to get high, and what he's starting to you know, this is like the biggest spice dose he's ever gotten, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening is he's starting to realize new things about his prescience. You know, he's getting his terrible purpose again. You know, thinking about what that means.
That clearly has to do with fucking, because you did like, you know, like the way people do hip thrusting, but without the hip thrusting, just the arm part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's not really what it is. Or maybe it is. No spoilers.
No spoilers.
I just was like, terrible purpose.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't have much emotional or intellectual depth. And when I read something like terrible purpose, I think about bone zones.
Wait, why?
What?
Why?
Because it's an easy joke to make.
I don't get why terrible purpose is bone zone.
I don't know. I remember there was, I guess I associate that because there was something, somebody was talking about special purpose. You've got a special purpose, don't show them your special purpose. It's some movie or something, and then turns out, you know, special purpose. I want to say it's like
Harry Potter.
No, Forrest Gump.
What?
I feel like Forrest Gump, they talk about Forrest Gump's special purpose.
No.
Well, it's something.
That doesn't happen.
It's something like that. Like, you know, like a mentally handicapped person. They talk about special purpose.
What the fuck are you talking about? This is such a random, like, firing synapse thing that you're like expecting other people to understand.
Good point. I'm a child of the 90s. I don't know. There was something that was like that. I don't remember what it was. Readers, call in.
Are you going to give him your phone number?
Yeah. Readers, call in to dunegirlfriend@gmail.com.
Okay.
One of the things I thought was interesting about it was he talks about there's kind of a Heisenberg uncertainty principle thing going on where it's like the energy he's taking to observe the future and the paths can change those paths. So he has to be like careful about getting, he's realizing that he has to be careful about like getting locked in to a path, you know, and living in the future and just being like, okay, this is going to happen and this is going to happen and this is going to happen,
right?
this is going to happen, because that can lead to like, you know, a shitty, like getting locked into a shitty path.
Dude, we have all been there. We're like, oh, I don't want to just do what I think I'm supposed to do.
Well, I think I relate to it because I've been, you know, I kind of talk to the, in my therapy about this. It's like, sometimes I get like immobilized because I'm like, this is going to happen. And then this is going to happen after that. And this is going to happen after that. And this is going to happen after that. And my therapist was like, you sound like a snowball rolling down a hill and just collecting all of this stuff. And it's like, you don't know that any of this is going to happen because you haven't even done the first step. You're not even, you can't know what's going to be the result of the first step of this process. Why are you predicting like 10 steps away?
Exactly.
You know, down this one path of decisions and consequences.
Well, because you think that if you do that, you can control that 10th step.
Yeah.
But you can't. I saw this quote the other day that I thought was so good.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, you never had control. All you had was anxiety or something like that.
Totally.
And I was like, that's so true.
Totally. Yeah. And, you know, you try to control the thing. You have an urge to control the things that you can't control and then neglect the things that you can control.
Mm-hmm.
Is my problem. So, yeah. So there's that kind of thing going on.
I also have the thing sometimes where I'm like, I don't even want to control that, like, 10th step. I don't know. I feel like sometimes people are like, oh, we need to plan 10 steps into the future. And I'm like, can we just see what happens with the first thing?
I think you gotta do that. You know, emergent strategies or whatever.
Well, that's one theory. But some people say, you know, a failure to plan is a plan to fail.
Right. So I don't know what the... I don't know. You can plan, but you have to plan. You can't assume the outcome of some certain things.
No.
Sometimes you can't assume an outcome. You can be like, well, dad's gonna say yes, mom's gonna say no, so I'm gonna ask mom I'm not gonna ask mom.
Well, you know, the best laid plans of mice and men oft go aglay.
That's true. The Scottish are so wise.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's just like you can sort of have an outline for the way that something should go. But if you want like every second of every moment of everything planned, like that's just not real life.
Well, I think a plan can be, I mean, you can know the steps required for something to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't necessarily know the outcomes of any of those things, but you can know, you know, if I'm going to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I'm going to have to put peanut butter and jelly jars on the countertop and get two slices of bread and do all right. that stuff. Maybe that's just a recipe.
Well, I have to make like a work, I have to make work plans for my job.
Yeah.
And like,
you're a project manager. You know how to know about this shit.
I used to make them really specific. And these days I'll just be like, talk to this person and see what this person says. Okay, then I guess the rest of the work plan is just do whatever that person and I decide to do. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like.
Well, that kind of thing, that's the kind of thing that comes with experience, you know?
Yeah, I guess so.
You just, you don't have to, you don't have to futz and worry about everything because you can just jump in and see where the current takes you in certain ways.
It's true.
Can't write that shit on a grant, though.
It's true, right. And I guess, like, sometimes I discount the value of, like, my own intuition, which I think a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, we think, like, oh, I'm no expert in, like, what were you saying the other day? Oh, like, super techie people, they, like, get really annoyed with people who don't know computers very well. But really, they're just, like, discounting all of the time and energy and effort they've put into, like, learning computers.
Yeah, it's a thing that people who don't, who, you know, don't actually have a good sense of their own self-worth do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they laugh at people's, they perceive people's ignorance at something that they are good at or know about as like a general stupidity, like why don't you know how to, you know, program in Fortran?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What are you, an idiot? And it's like, no.
Mm-hmm.
You know how to program in Fortran because you worked really hard at learning to do that and learning all the prerequisite things you have to know to, you know, to understand what you're doing when you do that thing. It's like years of training, and you're assuming, you're discounting that in yourself, like, because you that's how little value, self-worth you have.
I think it's true that it can be, like, annoying to kind of have to go back to, like, square one over again.
Well, sure it is, but, you know, that's why not everybody's in education.
Right. But at the same time, yeah, like, I just think, I forget why I even brought this up.
I don't know.
Something about...
Now who's randomly firing synapses?
Oh, no, just, like, yeah, like, intuition. Like, I think, like, intuition... in some cases sort of like goes hand in hand with like expertise, but it's like a more subtle version of it, right? Yeah. It's like I've done this thing so many times, or like some version of this thing so many times,
yeah,
that I pretty much get like how to move in subtle ways around it. Mm-hmm. You know,
well, but that's what they used to say about like George W. Bush being like, I like to go with my gut.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and everybody was like, okay, gut is good if you have a lot of experience to back up that,
mm-hmm,
gut, but
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
like George W. Bush didn't have any experience with anything, so his gut was fucking worthless.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I looked in the eyes of Putin, I saw that he was a good man. I know that it's not, I'm making fun of the wrong Republican president, but he was pretty shitty too,
guys. Yeah, no, for sure. How do you think his gut health is after using his gut so much? Do you think he's got lots of good bacteria?
Yeah, I think he's worked his gut into a good position. You know, now he's using his gut to paint weird paintings.
Mm-hmm, right.
And hang out with Ellen.
He's hanging out with Ellen?
Yeah, and there was that whole thing where last year when Ellen was at a football, she went to a Dallas Cowboys game. And she was sitting right next to George W. Bush, and they were just laughing and having a good time.
Honestly, given the opportunity, I'd probably sit next to George W. Bush just for the experience.
Yeah, but
it.
Would you laugh and joke with him and have a good time?
Probably.
Hmm.
You know,
I'm friends with Michelle Obama too.
I don't like just blanket hate everybody who thinks differently than I do.
I blanket hate
you know, a guy that's like a war criminal, and got us into a war that killed millions of people at
this totally time. But he's also a lovable idiot in a different kind of way. He's like more so than Trump. I mean, I would not want to, I have no interest in like having any experience of talking to Trump.
Yeah, sure.
But I'd be interested in the experience of talking to Bush, and I'd probably be so tickled by it that I'd be like laughing it up.
Sure. I've heard that he's, you know, charismatic on a personal level. That's fine. Whatever.
Anyway. I know. I wasn't old enough to be as traumatized by it as you.
Yeah, you were just a little baby.
Those 4 years, I always say, they make a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They do. Like, because I like, what, Ninja Turtles, and you like Pokemon or something?
I don't like Pokemon.
What do you like?
I don't know. Like, you mean cartoons that I watch?
Yeah, what cartoons?
How old were you when you watched Ninja Turtles?
Oh, I was a little kid. I was like in, you know, daycare, kindergarten. That was like late 80s.
Okay, so daycare, kindergarten. Or mid to late 80s. Probably watching like Rugrats or some shit on Nickelodeon.
Well, no, but don't put us together in the same time. Like, what were you watching when you were 10? And what was I watching when I was 10?
Kind of thing. No, that's what I'm saying. That's why I asked how old you were when you were watching Ninja Turtles. Okay. I'm saying what I was watching when I was that old.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Rugrats, I didn't have cable, so. I know this isn't, we don't have to get into it.
Are we delivering on the content tonight?
Yeah, I feel like I'm not, I don't know. Maybe I'm just being too judgmental of the content. I don't know, what did you think of this, this episode of Dune, of this chapter?
Well, I feel like there's a lot of, you know, I can feel it coming in the air tonight, basically.
Oh?
Yeah, down two levels, you know?
What is...
Mommy and Sunny.
Okay. What does that mean? You've got some foreboding about what's going to happen?
No, I just think they're, it's like, can he feel the love tonight?
Oh, you think Jessica and Stilgar are gonna bone?
Yeah, and Paul and Chani.
Who are you shipping here?
Paul and Chani, Jessica and Stilgar.
Okay.
Wait, but does shipping mean that you, like, want them in a relationship? I really don't give a shit whether they're in a relationship or not. I just think they're gonna be.
Okay. Chani is going to be played by Zendaya.
Which one's that?
She was in something recently.
I was thinking.
Oh, she's in Spider-Man. She plays MJ in the Spider-Mans, the new Spider-Mans.
Oh, I was thinking Zoe Kravitz.
Zoe Kravitz, I think, would probably be a little old at this point.
Oh, yeah, I guess she has to be a young...
Yeah, she has to be a young thing, or at least has to look like a young thing. Like, Timothée Chalamet is not actually a young thing, but he looks...
Oh, wait, is Chani actually going to be played by Zendaya?
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying. And Timothée
Chalamet is actually going to be played by Paul Atreides.
Oh, yeah, it's Paul Atreides in his debut role as Timothée Chalamet.
Kyle MacLachlan is Timothée Chalamet in Paul Muad'Dib.
Oh, I snorted.
Yeah, you did.
Who's playing Jessica? Is it Julianne Moore?
I don't know. That'd be a good one.
But younger Julianne Moore than she is now.
Julianne Moore right now, I say. Why not?
But Jessica's got to be young.
Yeah, she's probably going to be a little younger than
Julianne Moore. I think I said earlier in the podcast, Cate Blanchett, but also a younger Cate Blanchett.
Yeah, this kind of reminds me of whenever they were first talking about, like, ooh, they're going to reboot, they're going to make a new Star Trek, a new Captain Kirk, a new whatever. And then people kept being like, and they're going to be super young because it's going to take place before... supposed to take place before, you know, the original series.
Mm-hmm.
And people were like, okay, I think it should be... you know, like Matt Damon and, you know, as Kirk and...
Matt Damon's not young.
I know, and this was like in the 2010s. And yeah. So everybody was like, you're... Does the dudes like William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy were like 27 and 25,
right,
when they started those roles. Like, you're picking, you're already picking people way too old. But that's my thing. That's what happens,
you're saying,
in this culture. Mm-hmm. For some reason, everybody is just a, like, we're sitting, it's that thing where we're watching Tom Cruise as a, who's nearing 60.
Mm-hmm.
Be, you know, like, jump around as in Mission Impossible movies all the time. Mm-hmm. And we're just like, yeah, that's who our action stars are. Ditto The Rock and Jason Statham.
Mm-hmm.
And what's his name, the Groot, those guys are all in their 40s.
What about
and
50s. Helmsworth and, what about all those Helmsworths? How old are they?
I don't know. I don't know how old the Helmsworths are, but that's another one, because All of the Avengers are pretty old. Like, we're talking, except for maybe the guy that plays Captain America and Chris Hemsworth.
Timothée Chalamet is our only young star, and he.
But
could,
he's not an action
he
star.
Can't
he
can't be
is
an
a,
action star. There's no way he'd get broken in half.
Yeah, well, maybe as Paul Muaddy Duke Leto Atreides, he'll be a little actiony, I bet.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, we gotta do some knife fighting.
He has cupcake shields.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably
gonna have to run away from explosions and stuff.
You don't know who actually plays Jessica?
No, I don't know. Not right now.
Hmm.
I think Stilgar is gonna be played by, what's his name? The guy that played Thanos.
I think Duke Leto should be Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Mm, so he can cry sing?
Yeah. And then I think the Baron Harkonnen,
mm-hmm,
should be the guy who played Fat Bastard.
Mike Myers?
Is he dead?
No.
Wait, did Mike Myers play Fat Bastard?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Okay. I think that's a good get is Mike Myers as Baron Harkonnen. Okay, cool.
In the Fat Bastard fat suit.
In the Fat Bastard fat suit.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a baby. Remember when he said that? That was so funny.
Yeah.
What else?
And he talks about loving the smell of his own farts.
Ooh. Does he? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when it started to go off for reals. He got real in to that whole love guru thing. Was apparently Mike Myers was actually really into, like, Deepak Chopra and stuff, and he was, like, getting really into, you know, Eastern whatevers, and that was, like, his take on all.
Don't confuse Deepak Chopra with Eastern whatevers.
Wait, which one's Deepak Chopra? Is he the one that's always, like, quantum physics says,
yeah, I mean,
whatever
I just think that there's, like, a lot of, like, real good, valuable Eastern philosophy that's not Deepak Chopra.
I agree. Hey, I don't know if you know this about me. I have traveled in the East. I don't know if I told you, but I lived in South Korea.
Whatever.
Like, I've been to Taiwan.
And that's why you're such a Buddhist?
Yeah, I'm such a Buddhist now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know some stuff about Buddhists.
Yeah. Snails on the head and whatnot.
Yeah, snails on the head, very important. The fat Buddha is a different, completely different guy than the regular Buddha, because there's multiple Buddhas. Yeah.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
The turtle and the world on the turtle.
That's Pokemon.
Oh, okay. Wait, I thought that was Discworld.
No. Yeah, that's Discworld. It can be two things.
I thought there was something with the world and the turtle.
It's turtles all the way down, but not in Discworld. In Discworld, the turtle is R2, and he's just floating through space.
Oh, God. All right, we've gone way off the rails and not even into a fun territory.
Okay, yeah, you hate. You hate all science fiction, I guess.
I don't hate all science fiction.
I'm reading a Ringworld book right now, which is distinct from Discworld.
Mm-hmm.
And, God, I just every time I'm reading it, I was like, this is fun, but boy, would Caitlin hate this.
Oh, I'm sorry I ruined it for you.
No, you didn't ruin it for me.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Fun to think about how much you'd hate it.
Oh, okay.
That's why we're doing this podcast.
Oh, right. Okay.
All right. That's enough time. Okay.
Sorry, guys. I don't know.
Enough bullshit at these people for this for tonight.
No, try to come deliver on. More next time.
Listen, we take this seriously. We really do. We read, we take notes, we underline things, and we think about what we're going to say.
We flag things. And we use exactly 3 flags per chapter.
Well, and sometimes...
No more, no less.
To give you a peek behind the curtain, sometimes I come in, I'm like, oh yeah, this is going to be interesting to talk about. This is going to be interesting to talk about. This is going to be interesting to talk about. And sometimes, kind of like tonight, before we even get to those parts and the things I've underlined, Caitlin just scoffs and throws the book at me, which is what happened tonight. So I'm sometimes done with I all of this get... bullshit. Here, you finish the recap.
I just get really bored sometimes.
All right. Fine. While you're really bored sometimes, we start talking about things that you're interested in.
Like what?
Cojourning and
you don't even know what cojourning is.
No, I don't know what it means. You know, family planning or whatever you do for your work.
What? I do not do family planning.
Or community planning, community outreach,
oh
community
my
food
God.
Focus, community food access.
I'm not going to glorify this with a response.
Okay. I don't really belittle all your good works.
Okay, well,
bye.
Love you.
Okay, bye. Bye.